Attention, please. Places for top of show. Places for top of show. Hello, and welcome to Twins Talk Theater. We are Cindy.
And Stacy.
And we're talking about theater, backstage life, and all the excitement that the audience doesn't get to see.
Enjoy the show. Okay, now I'm going to start recording.
Okay, good.
You got your ice cream?
I got my ice cream. I have water with mint in it.
That sounds nasty.
Ice cream, because I thought it would taste good with what? You never drink peppermint water?
No.
Oh, it's really good.
Okay. I approve of the ice cream.
Okay. I'll try not to talk too much about who I am. Okay. Ready?
Yep.
For our very first podcast, we thought we'd give you a little introduction on who we are so that you're a little bit more interested in why we decided to have this podcast. I go first because I always go first. My name is Cindy. I am an equity and AGMA stage manager who's kind of transitioning into production management. We'll go into more detail later, but I mostly work in the opera world. I really love new pieces. I love modern pieces. I love new works. I love working in experimental places, experimental spaces. Currently working at a museum or producing a show in a museum. So it's very exciting. And I also live in New York City and I freelance. So I jump from gig to gig all over the United States.
My name is Stacy, and I am the assistant technical director and currently the production manager as of a couple months ago at Palos Verdes Performing Arts in Rolling Hills Estates. It's just south of LA, since most people don't know where Rolling Hills Estates is or the Palos Verdes Peninsula. I have been there for 9 years. In 2 weeks, it'll be 9 years. And I don't jump around quite as much. That's my home base, though I do other jobs on the outside. I have worked community theater, operas, 99-seat theaters all over the South Bay and Southern California. I think Santa Barbara is about as far north as I've gone. But yeah, I do more traditional stuff, musicals and straight plays. I have done some opera, especially at Long Beach Opera and Opera Santa Barbara, which I've worked with Cindy at a number of times. But mostly I work at the Norris or Palos Verdes Performing Arts, and we do musicals, straight plays, and then one night events.
So to start at the very beginning, we're going to go back to freshman year of high school. We had a friend, we still have a friend, Katie Caldwell, who liked to perform. She liked, I think she was in choir. She auditioned for the musical. And it was a very big thing when the cast list came out and she was cast in the chorus of Anything Goes. And we hadn't thought anything of it. And I think they actually started rehearsal. And one day she came up to us and she was like, "Hey, we started rehearsal for the show. We really need somebody to help us with props. You should volunteer to do props."
It's easy.
It's easy. This might be one of the biggest lies I think we've been told.
Yes.
It's easy and it's fun. Biggest lies ever. So she was like, "It's easy. Come do props." And we're like, "Well, we really don't know what that is. We've never done theater. I mean, our cousin does theater, but not really our thing." She's like, "Oh, no, it's easy. It's a lot of fun. You just come and you get to watch the show and you just find some props and that's it.
And you get to hang out with me." Great.
Right. Like, sure. How hard could it be? Yeah. Total disaster. I mean, Anything Goes is awesome, but I think we are upset almost every night. And remember, we're freshmen in Southern California who can't drive. So how the hell we're supposed to find props beyond us? We get out of rehearsal at like 9 o'clock at night. Everything's closed.
Still have homework to do.
Still have homework. Trying to depend on mom and dad to drive us everywhere to get the props or to get props while we're in classes so that we don't have to do it afterwards. We'd never done theater before, but I don't think Mr. C knew that. So he just kept talking to us like we knew what we were doing, which was also super confusing because they were like, "Well, I need this by tech." And you're like, "What the hell is tech? Why do we need this by tech? What does this even mean?
What is stage right? Where am I supposed to sit? Who's the stage manager? Why do I listen to them?" No idea what was going on at all. No theater classes. We didn't take a theater class until senior year. Junior year. And that was an acting class, so how useful was that for backstage stuff?
Yeah, but by then we'd already done a couple of shows, so we knew what we were doing.
Exactly.
And we were kind of miserable, and I'm pretty sure on a daily basis we were like, "We're never doing this again. why would anyone in their right mind ever want to do this? And so we made it through the show, and we know all the songs, and we knew all the tap dances, and...
Yeah, we were dancing backstage.
Definitely were. But during that show, we, as part of our school program, had to go in every weekend and help build the set and strike the set. So we're like, well, we know how to do that stuff, and we knew how to build, so we knew how to put props together and sew. So we kind of figured out, but we were miserable, and we were like, we're never doing this again. This is never happening. And then, was it later that same year, or was it the next year?
No, it was... I don't remember. Must be the next year.
It might have been the next year, because that we believe was in the spring.
Yeah. What did we decide? 1999?
Yeah, I think that's what we decided. So the next show starts, and they're like, we really want you to come do props. You were wonderful. And the teacher's like, you should come do props. And all of our friends are like, you should do props. You were wonderful. And we were like, what is wrong with you people? That was a miserable experience. Why would we ever want to do it again?
And then more of a mast, and then more of a mast. And then we had to go to Mom and Dad and ask Mom and Dad, which was a contract written on a napkin at their local round table, which we frequented for years, saying we had to still keep our grades up, we had to not complain very much, and we had to be let out on time. Because that was another issue Dad didn't like.
That was a big deal. So, I think we still have that napkin, too.
Yeah, I think it's hanging in our parents' house in our bedroom there.
Yeah.
So we agreed.
I did. And we did that show. And we did the next show. And we did quite a few shows. I think the rest of the shows.
We did the rest of the show. Yeah. And then I went back in college and did a show because it was a community theater thing. I mean, a community engagement. I was supposed to volunteer so many hours at something. And so I was like, great, I'll go back to high school with the people I already know and do theater. Perfect.
Do what I know how to do.
Yep. Then we get to theater, and I stayed local. I went to the university. Went to college. Stayed locally at the University of Redlands. And Cindy went up to University of the Pacific in Stockton, and we were not allowed to do theater. We were not allowed to do theater as a major, because nobody majors in theater. There's no jobs.
Can't make a living doing theater.
Can't do anything. So you declared...
I originally was a math major because I wanted to teach high school math, which I still enjoy, but that was my first declaration.
And I declared nothing because I didn't know what I was doing. I just had to go to school. And then later I declared business because Mom and Dad said, do business. Everybody needs to know business. And I went, yeah, great. Why not? Whatever. So I did business. But both of us still worked in the theater for our pay. I think it was, $2,000 a year that we could earn, but it helped paid for books and things like that. And I went in to meet Dan Cork, who was the TD at the time, and got into building sets backstage for pay. And I was there for 4 years.
I met actually in a ceramics class a performer who was in my ceramics class with me, and he is the one that first actually brought me over to the costume shop. And I said, well, I know how to sew. Mom taught me how to do that. And they were looking for work study people, so I was like, sure, I'll come do this. And they also needed people in the scene shop, so I was like, well, I can do that too. So in the beginning, I worked in both places. I split my time between the scene shop and the costume shop, but it came clear very early on that there were more people that could do scenic shop stuff than they could do costume shop stuff. So then they kind of just transitioned me to solely in the costume shop, which was great. And I did that, just like Stacey said, I was in the costume shop for all 4 years. And when I needed to, I still went to the scene shop and still did everything else. But my pay came from the costume shop. And I even did extra hours, even hours I wasn't going to get paid, because I just loved it so much that I would go in whenever I had free time, because I knew a costume had to get built or a fitting had to happen. And if I had 30 minutes in between classes, or if I finished a session early, I would just go over to the costume shop. And I think at one point I even had my own keys, and I could just go in after hours and finish up what I needed to work on. And I loved it. And so probably around my sophomore year, I declared a double major, I believe. And I think that was about the same time I realized that I did not get along with the math department teacher And I really loved the psychology department. So at first I was like math major, psychology minor. And then I transitioned to a psychology major with a theater minor around my sophomore year. And then eventually ended up with a theater major and a psychology minor. But it was like baby steps trying to get mom and dad to convince mom and dad that we could do this for a living. But they still made us get minors in other areas so that we had a backup plan.
Yep. I eventually got a major in theater and a minor in business administration. I think the turning point in that was you decided to study abroad our junior year. And since you were studying abroad, I studied abroad. And we convinced them that we should go to London together, even through separate schools. So we both went to London through Central College. And while over there, we mostly studied theater. We took as few classes as possible. I think they required us to take two classes. And then one of the class was on art history, where we traveled to all the local museums. One was on theater, where we saw theater shows every week. And then we only had classes Monday and Tuesday, and we spent the rest of our time traveling the country, traveling other countries, watching shows, touring museums, touring castles, and all that. Which mom was a study abroad student. She was in AFS when she was in high school and loved it. So that was an easy thing to get them to agree to. The trade-off was because we were basically gaining no useful credits for a year, or for one semester, we couldn't double major. Otherwise, we'd have to be another semester or year in school to gain those double majors. So they agreed that if we kept the minor and we studied abroad, then we could major in theater as long as we minored in something useful. Which apparently is psychology and business.
Which psychology has come in handy as a stage manager. So.
And business has come in handy considering I've worked on starting a couple companies and balancing books and creating contracts and budgets and all. So don't tell the parents, but it was actually quite useful.
Quite beneficial. So then after that, I guess is where our paths split for the first time. Well, no, for the second time. So the first time she went into a more technical direction at UOP is where I kind of learned that I wanted to be a stage manager. Because I loved working in the costume shop. I loved the scene shop. I loved when I started doing lighting. And I just kind of learned as a stage manager is where I kind of get to put all those things together. And I get to create the whole picture. And I got to be a part of everything. So I went towards stage management. Stacey went towards technical direction and scenic design. So then we both graduate college. And I don't feel that I'm, not that I'm not ready to go into the real world, but what I really want to do is large productions. I love large scale productions with a lot of people, a lot of things going on, which I didn't quite get from my undergrad. So I decided I was going to go to grad school and try to get the experience of the large scale production, at a place that had a large budget. So I took the path to go towards grad school, and Stacey took the path not to go to grad school, but to actually get into the real world and start getting hands-on experience, which we talk about all the time is, you know, what's the benefit of both? I talk to young stage managers quite often about if they have to go to grad school, if they don't. I feel these last couple of years have been a huge turning point in the theater world because the generation right before mine, I don't think there wasn't really grad school didn't exist for theater.
Yeah, it was very hard for me to find a program that had technical directing. Most people didn't. There was only a few out there who did. I think UT Austin was one of my main places that I wanted to go because they had one, but most people didn't have one.
And same with stage management. I knew I wanted to do something that included music. I wanted to do musicals or operas or dance. And I believe at the time there were 5 in the United States that had an MFA program in stage management with a focus in music. So it was very limited. And now when I talk to young stage managers, there's quite a few programs and it kind of seems like you have to take that route in order to get jobs. But one of my first jobs out of grad school, half the interview we talked about, you know, these older stage managers were asking me, why did you go to grad school? What was the point of grad school? Like, we didn't even go to undergrad school for what we're doing now, but it's just kind of how things have turned out. So that was a decision I made. And I went off to College Conservatory of Music, CCM, in Cincinnati for 2 years. I got the large scale experience. I was able to work on huge productions with, large casts and large crews and brand new designs. And one of my shows was completely automated. I think we had 7 different motors that completely controlled the set coming on and off stage. I had a crew of like 35 people at one point, When I did Boheme, I think the cast was over 65 people in total. I can't remember if that includes a children's chorus or not. So I got that experience that I wanted, which was a large scale experience. And I learned a lot about paperwork, but just a lot of the politics that go into theater. So I got kind of what I wanted out of that. And when I graduated, I moved off to New York City.
Whereas I chose a different route, I did start applying to grad schools. But in college, I made a friend with a guy named Jeff Kaysen, who at the time had started a musical theater club, and they'd produced a couple shows, and I'd worked, they came to the theater department and said, we need sets built. And my Dan Cork, the TD, said, great, here, Stacy, you deal with these people building sets. And so I built a couple shows for them. We became friends. At the University of Redlands, there's a strong music and opera department, and there's a strong theater department, but there was no musical theater. We just didn't cross over. We were on opposite sides of the campus. Most people didn't go back and forth. So the musical theater club was a way for people of both sides to join together and do things, but it was all student run. So I became part of that and worked in building the sets and getting to know the opera people and the music people and how it connected with the theater people and could provide them with the sets and technical information they needed for them to produce shows. So junior year, Jeff Kaysen says, hey, after school's done, I'm going to start a musical theater company here in Redlands. I think it's perfect. He was a Johnson student, means they get to come up with whatever they feel like coming up with. It comes up with their own degrees and writes everything. And said, that's what I'm doing for my senior year, my thesis and all of that. And I said, great, okay, I'll join. And then it was like, okay, well, do I do that or do I go to grad school? So I worked on both for a while. I applied to grad schools. I think I got accepted to one or two grad schools. But I continued working with Jeff on coming up with subscription plans and show budgets and set designs and working with the local high school to rent their space. So when school ended, I chose to go into starting a company instead of going to grad school. Also, I wouldn't be spending a ton of money on grad school like Cindy did, slightly different. I didn't really earn much money. So there's that.
Right.
But, so Jeff and I started a theater company and we produced 3 full musicals, and Cindy came out to be stage manager for 2 of them.
Yeah, like 1.5. I wasn't there for actual production, for like the actual performances of Man of La Mancha, but I was there for the beginning part of it. And then I was there for all of Godspell.
Yeah, and then we did Charlie Brown. So it was just Jeff and I starting the company, and they were full-scale productions. We had to find people to build the set ourselves, went to warehouse, went rent rehearsal spaces, some of them who had broken ACs at one point, come up with the budgets, create a board, and all of that, which was a huge learning curve, because in college they don't teach you how to start a company. Definitely not how to start a nonprofit. They teach you how to walk into a multi-million company and balance their books, or what's the economics behind, you know, supply and demand or cash flow or something like that. Not how do you start a company? How do you find people? How do you get donations? How do you do all the paperwork for a 501c3? So I got a lot of education and learning experience through that, and also just meeting a lot of people. I'd lived in Redlands. We've lived in Redlands most of our life, but we weren't part of the theater world until high school, and that's very limited. And then university, it's just the university. So met a lot of people, some that we still talk to today, learned how to do a lot of business stuff, which again, the business degree did come in handy. Again, don't tell parents. And produce shows, which is a huge step between technical directing and producing actual shows.
Thankfully, I didn't have to get into that actual producing part of shows until much later in my career.
Yeah.
Not that I've had an exceptionally long career, but it came much later in the process for me than it did for Stacey.
Still, we've been in it, what, 18 years now? So it's still pretty good. I mean, if we consider high school. If you don't consider high school, we've only been in it 10 years? 11 years?
11 years, because I graduated 9 years ago from CCM.
Yeah. So then after school, and Cindy went to grad school and I started a company. The company only lasted for 3 shows. Then we closed down and I was done with theater for a little bit. It was a bit of a dramatic closing. So I moved out to LA and got a personal assistant job at a pole dancing studio called Sheila Kelly's S Factor. I figured I'll work in an office, I'll figure out what to do in LA, and not do theater.
Life.
Exactly. And that lasted about 2 months before I realized I still needed theater, and I found places to volunteer. Storefronts in Fullerton, the Long Beach Playhouse, which is my second home, and I'm still there today. And Cindy finished grad school and moved out to New York.
Yeah, so my first job in New York was actually like kind of this thing that you see in movies. My summer after grad school, I went back home and, you know, I decided I was going to move to New York because my old college roommate had lived out there. So I went out for a week. I went to the theater bookstore. Oh my God, I can't remember the name of it. I think it's called a theater bookstore. You know, and I got the pamphlet that talked about all the Broadway producers. I flew back to California. Mom and Dad helped me with my resume and my cover letter. And I must have printed out like 250 of these resumes and cover letters and intro letters. And I just sent them like all over New York City. And I believe regionally, but my focus was on New York City. Just to like every producer, every Broadway house, just to say, hey, I'm a recent graduate. I'm moving to New York City. I'd love to meet with you. I'd love to observe you calling the show. I just want to get my foot in the door, you know, just to see where things went. So I move out to New York, and my first week in New York City, I remember sitting in my living room, getting a phone call from, I believe it was actually from their stage manager, Susie Corden, who was about to do Equus on Broadway with Daniel Radcliffe and Richard Griffith, saying, we got your letter. It was passed to me from our general manager. We're interviewing for production assistant positions. Do you want to come down and interview? And I said, well, absolutely. And she said, are you free today? And I'm like sitting way uptown in Manhattan. And I was like, yes, it takes me 45 minutes to get there. And I went down and I interviewed that day for Equus. And I think within 2 or 3 days, they offered me the position. So my very first job out of grad school was on Broadway, which was an absolutely amazing experience. Working with that group of people, and they all said that that group of people in Equus was just a really amazing group of people. Most of them, it was their first time on Broadway, so it was just a very wonderfully close group that were all super excited to be there. Even for a year or two after that show closed, we would still get together on a somewhat regular basis and just hang out with each other because we all loved each other so much. So that was an awesome experience to be like, well, I got out of grad school and then I got to work with Daniel Radcliffe, who's a very sweet guy. And after that, I started applying for jobs in the city and I got a job off Broadway working on the original Dear Edwina at the DR2. And that show was extended a few times. We ran 6 months. I then started doing a couple other smaller things locally. I did a piece regionally in New Jersey, my first Sweeney Todd. And I think it was about that time that Stacy called me up one night and she was like, hey, did you know there was an opera company in Long Beach? Because she had moved to Long Beach. No, she was still in El Segundo. But because of the Playhouse, she was like, hey, did you know there was an opera company in Long Beach? And I was like, nope, no idea. She said, well, they're looking for a stage manager to do Nixon in China. Isn't that the one you did in Cincinnati and you loved? And I was like, yeah, that's an awesome piece. It's one of my favorites. Still one of my favorites to this day.
Yeah, still don't understand, but whatever.
Yeah, that's where we differ. But I love it. So I was like, sure, I'll shoot him an email. So I sent an email and I apply for the job. I get an interview with Darlene, who is a little bit crazy, but now 9 years later, one of my closest friends.
Still a little bit crazy.
She's still crazy, but she's still one of my closest friends. And they offered me the job to come out and do Nixon in China at Long Beach Opera. And I can't say if the contract was good or bad. They didn't budget for like an out-of-town stage manager, but I wanted the job so much and I had nothing else and I wanted to come out to California. So I bought my own plane ticket and I slept on Stacy's floor. I don't even remember what house she was in at this point, but I slept on Stacy's floor and I called up my family members and my cousin had an extra car that I could borrow. So I used his car the whole time I was out here. And I did Nixon in China. And then the next season started and they called me again and they said, hey, we're doing Akhenaten, which is also another crazy show, but you know the venue and we really like working with you. And I said, sure, I can come out, but you know, my cousin doesn't have this car anymore. So is it possible you can get me a car? So they got me a car. And then, you know, fast forward six seasons later, I'm still flying to Long Beach to do shows. And I kept upping it. So in the end, I think I got really good pay and I got round trip airfare and I got a car and I lived with this amazing lady on the beach in a condo with my own bedroom and bathroom. So it was super awesome.
And a spa that we could all come play in.
Yeah. And I could, you know, fly out to California. Well, they would pay for me to fly out to California to hang out with my family. So Long Beach was my home for about 6 years. And after that, I just kind of got stuck in opera. I'm not really sure how it happened, but once you do a couple operas and then you meet people in opera and then you just continue to do opera. And now I've kind of exclusively doing opera for 8 years-ish. I've done a couple other things. I've done some smaller pieces, some showcases, some benefit concerts in New York. But for the most part, I've been stuck on opera for 8 years.
Yeah, through most of that, I'd got the job at Palos Verdes Performing Arts. At the time, it was known as Norris Center. And
I still call it the Norris.
I bounce back and forth because it's still the Norris Theater, but the company is Palos Verdes Performing Arts. So back and forth. And I started out there as, actually, it goes along with Equus. I interviewed there and then they called me up and offered me the job. And I said, great, I'll take the job. But I'm flying out to New York to see my sister do Equus and I leave in a week. So can I take the job in like 3 weeks when I'm back from New York? They said, sure. We actually surprised our mom and flew her out with us. We gave her about 10 hours notice before she got on the plane. Yeah. Maybe?
Yeah.
We said, Dad packed your bags. We have your ticket. You're coming home with me tonight. We're getting on the plane tomorrow morning. We're going to go see Equus and Daniel Radcliffe. And as a huge Harry Potter fan, Mom was super excited. And to go to New York, because we hadn't been out there for a while. So I came back from that and started working at the Norris. There, my original position was facilities technician. Run around behind Greg and keep the building clean and work on sets and clean toilets and trim bushes and do whatever needed to be done. 9 years later now, I'm the assistant technical director and production manager. And though I still manage to clean quite a few toilets and trim bushes.
I was going to say, and you're still cleaning toilets.
I can pull a toilet and clean it and put it back on the ground, seated and everything in like less than an hour. I'm very excited. But I also, in the production manager for shows, work on budgets, help decide next season, build sets, and all of that. So even though I'm still there, it's gained quite a bit. I still volunteer at the Long Beach Playhouse, which is a second home, and I'm there whenever I can be. All of my close friends have come from there. My best friend who officiated my wedding is now the artistic director, or what's his title now? Technical director and production something. I'm sorry, Sean, I'll correct that later. And then in between doing shows at the Norris, for a while while working there, went up to Santa Barbara, did some shows, went to Fullerton, did some shows, worked at Long Beach Opera for a couple of seasons, basically just jumping around, getting to know people, getting to do different shows, getting to, you know, earn extra money here and there, and meeting people, which you never know who you're going to run into. At the University of Redlands, I worked with a guy, him and his wife, named Amanda and Craig Coakley, and Craig now is on Broadway. Not on Broadway, he's an opera singer. He's traveling the world doing opera. 2 years ago, I ran into his brother doing a show. He does opera up at Opera Santa Barbara. It's just a small world. Whether you're in opera or regular straight plays or musicals or whatever, everybody's kind of connected.
Yeah, it's so tiny. This job and the next job that I have are all like just people that I've met through the years. And currently I'm at Opera Philadelphia working on their, what are they calling it? 017. It's their first festival season. You know, and I have run into a singer that I worked with at Long Beach Opera, I think a couple years ago. And then a stage manager I actually hired when I was at Tri-Cities Opera. So.
And a couple of your people there, went to CCM before, after you, or during you.
Yeah, some of the stage management team that I'm working with, the assistant stage manager and I went to CCM together, and the director of the piece that I'm working on is currently at CCM as the head of the opera department, and the assistant director is, I don't remember the title of it, but he's one of the grad certificate students in the opera directing program. So a lot of CCM connections in war stories at Opera Philadelphia right now. So then after, I've been doing opera for years, and I finally, 2 years ago, took a, what do you call it, Stacey?
I call them a house position.
A house position, right. I took a house position at Tri-Cities Opera, where I'd freelanced for 2 years. So I sat there for 2 years as the director of production and stage manager, among other things. And it was a great experience because when you freelance, you just come into a show, come into a company, you know, you're there 5 to 6 weeks usually, and then you leave. And sometimes that's really awesome because you don't have to deal with all the other drama. But what I loved about being at Tri-Cities Opera is that I can kind of help the company grow and help the singers grow. So I was able to take a company and kind of bring it to a new level, but also work with our resident artists for a full season to make them better performers. You know, I was able to take them from the beginning through the end and watch them grow through the entire season, and give them what I hope leads them to a more professional and fulfilling career as opera singers. I was also able to work on a budget and kind of come up with long-term plans and help kind of figure out a season. And it was really nice it was very stressful, but it was also nice to see something from, you know, conception all the way through to the end of the season and not just like come in for one-off shows. So it was a lot of fun, but, very stressful. And after 2 years of that, I decided it was time to freelance again, which is what I'm currently doing. But what I learned at Tri-Cities is also that I really do enjoy production management, which is where in Stacey and my life, we've kind of come back to being together again. Even though she took the TD path and I took the stage management path, we both kind of around the same time, me a little bit earlier, but come to production management through those two paths. So we always talk about, you know, we're twins, and so naturally we do everything together. But how we kind of split and come back. And we actually, I think, talk about it. It might just be in my head that we talk about it. But we talk about the length of our hair. You know, our hair sometimes is the similar and different. And then our weight will go up and down, but we kind of always like even out. And because our dad's a physicist, we totally believe in
conservation of everything.
Conservation. Yeah. And also, it's the first law of physics. But, you know, so when my hair is short, Stacey's hair is going to be long. And when I gain weight, Stacey's going to lose weight, because together we're a whole. So we have to even everything out. So
there's a balance to the force. I wouldn't say one of us is good or evil. Caitlin might differ on that, but definitely there's a balance. And just also because we're part of the same, learning from each other. I didn't have to go to grad school for stage management to learn what good paperwork was, to learn what a stage manager thinks, to learn connections to different people. And you didn't have to become a TD to know what size a piece of plywood was, or what a source four was, or, you know, what the rail cues are needed for someone to actually run the rail.
How to create my paperwork so that a crew person understands the paperwork that stage managers create. Because I would just create something and send it to Stacey and be like, hey, does this make sense? Do you understand this? You don't know the show at all. So if I gave you this paperwork, could you run this show?
So. Exactly. And I'd send stuff back and be like, my stage manager gave me this and I don't know what it means. Can you figure it out? Or how do you call a show? Or are they supposed to be doing this? Or why are they not here on time? And how come they're not sending rehearsal reports? And give me a template for this cue sheet because I don't have one.
You make really good running paperwork now.
Yeah, well, I took it off from you and I just fill in the blanks. So that's pretty convenient.
It's very convenient.
So that's another reason why we thought we'd start a podcast, because not only are we both in theater, but being twins is apparently unique. I mean, not to us, because we have been, and we're not quite sure how you singletons do everything, but...
Yeah, it must be a very difficult life to be by yourself.
Yeah, we're sorry about that.
We feel bad for you guys.
So, So we thought it'd be fun to call it Twins Talk Theater because we both do theater and we're twins.
But we're also hoping not to just talk amongst ourselves through all of these podcasts, but we've started contacting our friends and our colleagues. We're hoping to interview different people. And my goal is to actually find other twins in the industry or even siblings in the industry and talk to them and see, you know, is it normal for twins to go into the same business or how is it working with a fellow twin? I do have a couple friends who are twins, one set at least, one that are brothers who are both opera singers. We're going to get them on here. There's a couple other people I know. There's a set of twins. One is a costumer. One does hair and makeup, which I think is a very interesting, again, kind of like the yin and yang. They go hand in hand really easily.
Of course, there's the in-laws. One of them is a technical director and the other one is a makeup designer. Yeah. And their dad is a set designer.
Set and lighting.
Yeah. Great at set and lighting. So we're going to be talking to all kinds of people about all kinds of different topics, about different relationships in the theater, how you work with other people, how you work with other designers or other theaters or different spaces or anything related to theater, which is basically our life almost completely.
Pretty much completely.
I mean, I have a dog, so if I'm not at theater, I'm probably petting my dog. So yeah, that's our plan for the show. We hope you will listen to more episodes. We hope we get some feedback, see what you guys want to listen to. If you have any questions, anybody you're interested in us maybe interviewing. I mean, we have a number of people we already know, but we'd love to meet new people, get new perspectives on things, see what they think about the whole crazy industry that is one of the oldest professions, I think. Theater, acting, performing something.
Entertainment,
definitely.
And twins.
Ooh, you're a twin? Can you feel what she's feeling? Do you think the same?
What is that like? How is it being a twin? I don't know. Are you lonely all the time?
You're a singleton. How do you feel not having somebody around constantly?
Do you feel like part of you is missing? Maybe that's what I should start asking people. Do you feel incomplete?
Or are you complete on your own? And then is that lonely, knowing there's only you, nobody else?
Is that lonely? Are you lonely all the time? I'm very curious about this. Paperwork, when you can't share it with your twin, who answers your questions for you?
Who do you call at 2 in the morning and say, damn it, you're on the East Coast. Why aren't you answering me at 5 in the morning your time?
Or dude, I got this awesome idea. We should do a podcast.
What? Great! You're gonna have to buy a microphone because I already got one, so we're starting next Wednesday. Go!
Look, I found one.
Perfect!
Okay, this is my second one because the first one you did not like.
My husband did not like. I'm not taking full responsibility for that.
Okay, great. Okay. So this is our podcast. Come listen. Thank you.
Bye!